Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. We open our show with an update on the devastating lilac fire burning in San Diego's North County, followed by an update on the extended red flag warning and power outages across our region. Intentional power shutoffs by SDG&E, some slated to last for days, are sparking anger among some rural and mountain area residents, and we'll tell you why on today's show. We'll also have tips for what to do before and during a power outage. Hear about a fire started by a lost hiker in East County that, fortunately, firefighters swiftly brought under control, and learn how you can help prevent wildfires. On our Capitol Report, we'll have some important information on the tax bill that just passed the Senate, including growing concerns over some popular tax deductions being eliminated and how the bill could also impact your health care. Then we'll tell you about a deduction for wildfire survivors and those suffering other catastrophes that's gone up in smoke due to the tax bill now in Congress. Plus, learn why the California Public Utilities Commission has told SDG&E that it cannot charge ratepayers for its uninsured losses from the 2007 firestorms. Now, if you're traveling anytime soon, or if someone in your family has smart luggage on their holiday wish list, be sure to listen up for information on airlines banning certain smart bags due to fire and explosion dangers. On our Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers report, learn why the state insurance commissioner in California is seeking to suspend or revoke Wells Fargo's insurance license due to scams the bank reportedly has been operating. We'll also have news about a newly found document showing that the Navy told the Coastal Commission it lacked jurisdiction to approve a nuclear waste dump at the San Onofre Beach. On the second half of our show today, we'll be interviewing Daniel Sullivan, founder of Sullivan Solar, about time-of-use rate changes on your utility bill. Those changes mean many solar energy users will soon be paying a lot more to SDG&E unless you have a battery backup system. Now, those battery backups not only save consumers money, but can also provide you with a backup source of power to prevent power outages. And as we've seen with the thousands of homes left without electricity due to the high winds this week, that's an important consideration. Then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about some festive events happening across our region, such as La Mesa's Holiday in the Village, the North Pole Express train ride in Campo, Santa and Snow coming to Santee Lakes, a holiday wine trail in Ramona, holiday concerts, and much more. So stay tuned for all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. The lilac fire that started Thursday in the Fallbrook-Bonsall area near the junction of Interstate 15 and Highway 76 has scorched 4,100 acres and remains 0% contained as of Friday afternoon. Fueled by powerful Santa Ana winds, the fire has burned at least 65 structures and killed over 24 racehorses, forcing evacuations as far west as Camp Pendleton. 3 civilians and 2 firefighters have also suffered injuries. Federal, state, and local emergency declarations have been issued to maximize firefighting resources, and the military is also providing aircraft to fight the fires. Many schools across the county closed on Friday due to high winds, fire danger, and smoke. Evacuation centers open as of Friday afternoon, our show deadline, are at the East Valley Community Center in Escondido and Stagecoach Community Park in Carlsbad. For East County residents left without power, the Bastonia Recreation Center in El Cajon has been opened as an emergency shelter and will accept small pets. Large animals and livestock can be taken to the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Further north, other major fires have devastated large portions of Ventura, Los Angeles, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties, burning many homes ranging from mobile home parks to mansions in the exclusive Bel Air neighborhood. Fires burned close to such iconic landmarks as the Getty Museum and Magic Mountain, forcing closures of many major freeways in recent days. Now, if you are traveling, be sure to check current road conditions and watch for SIG alerts. Don't rely on navigation systems such as Waze that was reportedly directing people onto untraveled roads within the evacuated areas near fires. Lyft has announced that it will offer free rides up to a $50 value to evacuation shelters for anyone in the evacuated areas here in San Diego County. If you would like to help survivors of the Lilac Fire in San Diego's North County, here are some actions you can take. The San Diego County Call Center needs volunteers for its 11 p.m. to 9 a.m. shift. You can volunteer by calling 858-300-1269. The Red Cross is accepting donations to assist evacuees in shelters. You can donate pet supplies for evacuated pets at the San Diego County Humane Society's Amazon.com wish list. In addition, the Del Mar Fairgrounds seeks donations of animal feed, bedding, buckets, shovels, and rakes for evacuated large animals, including horses that it has taken in.
With wind gusts forecast up to 90 miles an hour in San Diego's mountains and valleys, along with low humidity, the National Weather Service is warning of the potential for explosive wildfires. A red flag warning has been extended to Saturday evening. Adding to the danger, many firefighters statewide are deployed to fight major fires burning in Ventura, Los Angeles, and San Bernardino counties, so mutual aid resources could be stretched thin if major fires develop in San Diego County. CAL FIRE, San Diego Fire and Rescue, and San Diego Gas and Electric have beefed up staffing in preparation. San Diego Fire Chief Brian Fennessy says meteorologists at the National Weather Service have not seen models for a Santa Ana event like this in many years. We are being vigilant and upstaffing to protect San Diegans and their property, he adds, Times of San Diego reports. Fire officials urge residents to practice their evacuation plans and be prepared in case of a wildfire. Heavy rains last winter, after years of drought, have created dense growth in brush and grasses that have since dried out, creating fire fuel that could result in uncontrollable fires should a wildfire occur during extreme wind conditions, the U.S. Forest Service has warned. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
This is Miriam Raftery with the latest on power outages across our region. SDG&E has shut off power to thousands of homes and communities across San Diego County during extreme Santa Ana wind conditions. This is done to prevent power line fires such as those that ignited the 2007 firestorms. Communities without power include portions of Alpine, Bonsall, Boulevard, Campo, Cuyamaca, Descanso, Fallbrook, Jamul, Julian, Mount Laguna, Potrero, Ramona, Santa Isabel, Vista, and more as of Friday. The utility has warned residents that their power could remain off for several days until it can be safely restored. The shutoffs are sparking concerns and in some cases anger among residents. Some residents who rely on electric heaters are left shivering in temperatures dipping into the 40s at night in mountain and rural areas. Electric well pumps don't work with the power out, leaving no way to provide water for people or livestock. Some rural areas lack cell phone service, leaving residents with no way to learn about wildfires or other emergencies unless they have a backup generator. The widespread shutoffs came just days after the California Public Utilities Commission ruled that SDG&E cannot charge ratepayers for its uninsured losses from damages in three of the 2007 wildfires that state regulators found were caused by SDG&E's power lines. Another complaint has been lack of accessible shelters. Only two emergency shelters for those without power outages have been opened as of Friday, one in Escondido and the other in El Cajon. For residents of mountain and desert areas, those shelters were an hour or more away, and completely inaccessible on Thursday when Interstate 8 east of Alpine was shut down due to winds so strong that they flipped over a semi-truck and a trailer. Nancy Bowler-Satalante posted on Facebook that she told an SDG&E representative things should have been handled differently. She wants to see the utility bring a water truck out to help people with animals, and she believes a Red Cross shelter should be set up in her rural mountain town, Potrero, so that people can have a hot meal and a warm place to stay. Red Cross spokesperson Emily Cox told us on Thursday, "I know it is a little far, but we coordinate with the County Office of Emergency Services and SDG&E to determine the safest place for us to put the shelters, and we needed to have locations far enough from the potentially affected area so that they would maintain the safety." She added that the Red Cross will evaluate the need for more locations throughout the next few days. Jan Hedlund, a member of the Potrero Community Planning Group, asked why repairs slated over a year ago to a power pole in front of her home was completed just this week, and she says, "I believe strongly that SDG&E dropped a major ball with their method of shutting down electricity, telling folks it will be days before they turn it on and doing nothing to help." She adds, "They certainly don't give adequate warning for people to be prepared, especially those with livestock." She wants to see the law change to make it mandatory for utilities or the government to provide water, care for animals, and shelter for residents deprived of service due to prolonged intentional outages. Supervisor Diane Jacob told us, "I'm concerned about any shutoffs because they can pose their own risks to property and life in a crisis, especially in rural areas where fire crews and residents need access to well water. I urge SDG&E to cut power only as a last resort and only if there's the danger of an actual system failure that could ignite a wildfire." Now, we also contacted the offices of Assemblymembers Ben Wesso and Randy Vopel, who represent mountain and rural communities most severely impacted by the shutoffs, but so far we have not received a response as of our show deadline Friday morning. California Public Utilities Commission spokesman Christopher Chow confirmed that such shutoffs are legally allowed when strong winds exceed design parameters for safely operating power lines and other electrical equipment. On its website, SDG&E advises, "If your power is out, please be sure you have adequate emergency supplies on hand for an extended period of time." And the utility encourages residents to check the outage tab at sdge.com for current outage information and estimated restoration dates and times. Although without power, some residents may have no way to access the website. Next up, Meridian Broaddus will have some safety tips to help you before and during a power outage.
SDG&E is warning county residents to be ready for potential power outages this week due to high fire danger. It's important to be prepared for outages. During wildfires in Northern California last month, several people died because they were unable to evacuate. After the power went out, some elderly residents could not disconnect automatic garage door openers or lift heavy garage doors, so their vehicles were trapped inside. East County Magazine has compiled some safety tips to help you get ready for power outages. During high fire danger situations, it's wise to park your vehicle outdoors to assure that you can evacuate quickly if the power goes off. Learn how to disconnect your garage door opener and open the door manually in case of an unexpected outage so you won't be trapped at home. Keep plenty of gas in your tank at all times so you can evacuate quickly if needed. If you have an electric vehicle, be sure it's fully charged up and ready to go. If you or someone in your household has a serious medical condition and relies on critical life-saving medical equipment, such as a respirator or dialysis machine, it's important to let SDG&E know and sign up for the Medical Baseline Program. SDG&E sends advance notices of rotating outages to its medical baseline customers, who also receive lower rates on their bills. If you live in a rural area where outages are common, you may wish to invest in a generator. This is particularly important for livestock owners who depend on electric well pumps to provide water for horses, cattle, chickens, or other animals. Keep flashlights, battery-powered lanterns, and solar nightlights on hand in case your power goes out. Do not use candles, since a stumble in the dark could cause a fire. Have a portable radio with batteries so that you can listen to the news for alerts on fires or other emergencies. Sleep with the window open so you can smell smoke if a fire is approaching your home. Since phone lines can also fall during a power outage, have a fully charged cell phone that's easily accessible. It's also helpful to purchase a solar-powered cell phone charger so that you won't be left without communication if the power goes off. Keep critical items you need in an evacuation in a box somewhere where you can access them safely and quickly, even if the lights are off. Try to avoid opening your refrigerator during outages to keep foods cold. If power is out more than several hours, discard items at high risk of spoilage. You may also wish to keep an ice chest on hand to preserve some refrigerated items. Have plenty of water and some packaged foods that can be eaten without cooking and opened without an electric can opener. Check expiration dates and replace items in your emergency kit as needed. In case of a prolonged outage, have a backup plan for your household, particularly in uncomfortably hot or cold weather, such as a friend or relative you can stay with temporarily if needed. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Meridian Broaddus. SDG&E is warning county residents to be ready for potential power outages this week due to high fire danger. It's important to be prepared for outages. During wildfires in Northern California last month, several people died because they were unable to evacuate. After the power went out, some elderly residents could not disconnect automatic garage door openers or lift heavy garage doors, so their vehicles were trapped inside. East County Magazine has compiled some safety tips to help you get ready for power outages. During high fire danger situations, it's wise to park your vehicle outdoors to assure that you can evacuate quickly if the power goes off. Learn how to disconnect your garage door opener and open the door manually in case of an unexpected outage so you won't be trapped at home. Keep plenty of gas in your tank at all times so you can evacuate quickly if needed. If you have an electric vehicle, be sure it's fully charged up and ready to go. If you or someone in your household has a serious medical condition and relies on critical life-saving medical equipment, such as a respirator or dialysis machine, it's important to let SDG&E know and sign up for the Medical Baseline Program. SDG&E sends advance notices of rotating outages to its Medical Baseline customers, who also receive lower rates on their bills. If you live in a rural area where outages are common, you may wish to invest in a generator. This is particularly important for livestock owners who depend on electric well pumps to provide water for horses, cattle, chickens, or other animals. Keep flashlights, battery-powered lanterns, and solar nightlights on hand in case your power goes out. Do not use candles, since a stumble in the dark could cause a fire. Have a portable radio with battery so that you can listen to the news for alerts on fires or other emergencies. Sleep with the window open so you can smell smoke if a fire is approaching your home. Since phone lines can also fall during a power outage, have a fully charged cell phone that's easily accessible. It's also helpful to purchase a solar-powered cell phone charger so that you won't be left without communication if the power goes off. Keep critical items you need in an evacuation in a box somewhere where you can access them safely and quickly, even if the lights are off. Try to avoid opening your refrigerator during outages to keep foods cold. If power is out more than several hours, discard items at high risk of spoilage. You may also wish to keep an ice chest on hand to preserve some refrigerated items. Have plenty of water and some packaged foods that can be eaten without cooking and opened without an electric can opener. Check expiration dates and replace items in your emergency kit as needed. In case of a prolonged outage, have a backup plan for your household, particularly in uncomfortably hot or cold weather, such as a friend or relative you can stay with temporarily if needed. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Meridian Broaddus.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is East County Magazine's Capital Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Capital Report. By a narrow 51-49 vote, the U.S. Senate approved a sweeping tax overhaul bill last week that marks the first significant legislative victory for President Donald Trump. As more details emerge on the hastily crafted bill, however, opposition is growing. The tax bill is drawing protests at the Capitol and across the nation, including a rally held in San Diego. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is broad, providing huge long-term cuts for corporations and wealthy individuals. But tax cuts for most other Americans are small and only short-term. Even the modest tax cuts for ordinary Americans will be largely negated, however, since the bill also takes away many popular tax deductions. A Washington Post analysis finds that 62% of Americans will get a tax cut of at least $100 in 2019, but 38% will get no tax cuts at all. By 2027, only 16% of individuals will still have tax cuts, and 84% of us will have none. By contrast, deep cuts for corporations are permanent. The Senate's tax bill would cut rates in all seven tax brackets, but only until 2026. the AARP, opposed the bill, saying it would raise taxes on over a million seniors by 2019 due to loss of numerous credits and deductions, including elimination of the personal exemption for spouses and each child, deductions for moving expenses, tax preparation costs, and losses from wildfires and other disasters. The bill also limits deductions for state and local income taxes paid to $10,000. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that the tax plan will increase the deficit by $1.3 trillion, a forecast that the Republican leaders dispute, claiming cutting taxes for companies and the wealthy will result in job creation and economic growth. In addition, the Senate bill eliminates a key provision of the Affordable Care Act. Specifically, the measure repeals the Obamacare mandate that required everyone to buy health insurance. The Congressional Budget Office predicts that would cause health care premiums to rise about 10% a year and force 4 million people to drop insurance over the next 2 years, with another 13 million losing health insurance by 2027 due to lack of affordability. Rising premiums and loss of health insurance could far exceed the short-term savings on income taxes for many low- and moderate-income people. The bill's biggest beneficiaries are corporations. The tax rate for big businesses will drop from 35% to 20% starting in 2019, and those cuts are permanent. The aim was to make U.S. corporate taxes less than taxes in foreign countries to increase competitiveness. The bill further reduces taxes for multinational players by requiring them to be taxed mainly on their earnings in the U.S. instead of on all income earned worldwide, as is currently required. But that's not all. The top rate on the income earned by owners of flow-through businesses, that's S corporations and partnerships, is reduced from 39.6% to just under 30%, Forbes reports, saving these businesses even more money. The wealthiest Americans will also be big winners in the tax bill. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that over 80% of millionaires will pay less income taxes under the Senate measure, with the top tier falling from 39.6% to 38.5%. In addition, rich people won't have to pay a penny in inheritance taxes unless their estate is valued at over $11 million, or $22 million for married couples. The current law sets the threshold at $5.5 million. The Senate bill would result in only about 1,800 families a year paying any inheritance tax at all. The bill also hits homeowners hard. Currently, if you sell your home, the first $250,000 that you gain is tax-free if it's your primary residence and you lived in the house at least two of the last 8 years. Now you'd have to live there at least 8 years to get the deduction. The bill also eliminates deductions for home equity debt. And if you work from home, you won't be able to deduct your home office anymore under the bill. Charities, including the United Way, are also voicing concerns, since by eliminating most itemized deductions, more Americans will be filing a standard deduction instead of itemizing. That means there won't be any financial incentive for middle-class families to donate to nonprofits, so donations to charities are expected to drop. To get the vote of Alaska's senators, Senate Republicans added a clause to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas drilling. This action has long been opposed by environmentalists, but pushed forward by politicians in Alaska, where fossil fuel production profits are shared with taxpayers. Two controversial clauses in the House version of the bill were eliminated by the Senate. One in the House plan would have repealed the Johnson Amendment and allowed churches and other nonprofits to engage in political activities such as lobbying and endorsing candidates. The other clause, stricken by the Senate, would have allowed parents to use tax-free saving plans for unborn children, language opposed by abortion rights supporters who argued that it sought to define a fetus as a person. President Donald Trump hailed passage of the Senate measure on Twitter, stating, "Biggest tax bill and tax cuts in history just passed the Senate," and then thanked legislators who voted for the bill. All Senate Democrats voted against the bill, including California Senators Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris. A similar bill in the House was opposed by four of San Diego's five congressional members, with only Congressman Duncan Hunter voting in favor. The Senate bill was not provided to senators until late at night in a non-searchable format, with the vote held early the next morning. Democratic leaders called it irresponsible to hold a vote on a nearly 500-page bill that no member had time to read, with handwritten changes scrawled in margins, including last-minute additions proposed by lobbyists. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer warned that key changes were made under the cover of darkness to, quote, "stuff even more money into the pockets of the wealthy and the biggest corporations while raising taxes on millions in the middle class." The measure now advances to a reconciliation process to resolve differences in the House and Senate versions before it can be sent to President Trump for signature, so there is still time for changes to be made. If you want to make your voice heard regarding the tax bill, you can contact your members of Congress at House.gov and Senate.gov.
If you lose your home or personal property in a natural disaster, such as a wildfire or earthquake, or if you suffer damages from theft, an accident, or vandalism, you won't be able to deduct those property losses off your taxes after December if the Republicans' tax bill is signed into law. That's because both the Senate and House versions of the Republicans' tax bill eliminates these tax breaks. San Diego Congresswoman Susan Davis, a Democrat, voted against the bill. She told East County Magazine, "Our region knows all too well the devastation wildfires can do. The wildfire tax deduction is a way to ease the financial burden associated with the loss of or damage to a home. Ending the ability to deduct these costs just adds insult to injury." Congressman Duncan Hunter is the only member of San Diego County's congressional delegation who voted for the bill. He says he supported the tax-cutting bill to, quote, "invest in our economy, create jobs, and promote business growth," but acknowledged that the bill was imperfect. The measure is now going through a reconciliation process in both houses to resolve differences in the House and Senate versions, after which it will go to President Donald Trump to sign. If signed into law, it would eliminate the deductions starting in January 2018. The bill grandfathers in flood victims from this year's devastating hurricanes that struck Texas and Florida, but the House Ways and Means Committee chairman rejected a request from California legislators to add in protections for recent California wildfire victims, unless they complete damage assessment in the next 3 weeks before year's end, a nearly impossible task before the deduction expires. Future victims of large disasters would be out of luck unless Congress votes to allow disaster relief for any specific major event. But people who suffer losses in individual fires or small-scale natural disasters will not even have that option, nor will anyone with losses due to theft or accidents. Congressman Mike Thompson, a California Democrat whose district includes most of the October 2000 California firestorm survivors, calls the elimination of the deduction cruel and heartless, the Los Angeles Times reports. San Diego's East County has suffered some of the worst wildfires in our state's history, including the 2003 and 2007 firestorms. Most of that damage was in Duncan Hunter's district. Asked if Congressman Hunter plans any action to try and get the deduction restored, Hunter's district chief of staff Mike Harrison told East County Magazine in an email, "Congressman Hunter is not on the committees, House Budget and House Ways and Means, that will be involved with the House and Senate conference. The only opportunity he is going to have for input will be a final vote on the measure if it goes to the House floor." That statement conflicts, however, with the fact that just days ago, Representative Hunter signed a letter along with other California congressional members asking the chair and ranking member of the House Ways and Means Committee to add funding for disaster relief for California wildfire victims to a disaster aid measure. Though Hunter is not a member of that committee, there would be nothing stopping him from sending a similar letter asking committee members to restore the tax deduction for Americans who suffer losses due to natural disasters or other casualties. Constituents concerned about loss of the tax deduction for losses from fires or other disasters can contact their members of Congress to voice their views by visiting House.gov and type your zip code into the Find My Representative box to locate the name, phone, website, and email address for your elected representative. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
10 years after the 2007 firestorms, the California Public Utilities Commission ruled last Friday that San Diego Gas and Electric Company cannot charge ratepayers $379 million for the utility's uninsured losses due to damages in the 2007 firestorms. By a unanimous decision, the PUC ruled that SDG&E did not reasonably manage and operate its equipment, which CAL FIRE found causes or contributed to the fires. Christine Ross, a veterinarian who lost her home, business, and intellectual property in the fires, called the news fabulous, adding, "That is such good news." Ross is one of the few fire survivors who has not settled a case against SDG&E, which remains on appeal. Diane Conklin, spokesperson, Mussy Grade Road Alliance in Ramona, a nonprofit group that has intervened at the PUC on power line fire issues, told East County Magazine that after years of fighting SDG's application to charge ratepayers for its uninsured wildfire costs, her organization is gratified by the PUC's decision, adding, "We applaud the commissioners for their good judgment." The PUC decision upholds the recommendation of two administrative law judges. The action comes after multiple delays and revelations that utility company executives from SDG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, and Edison held ex parte meetings with commission staff in an effort to lobby the commission to rule on behalf of utilities. The decision, if it stands, sets a precedent that could be used to also hold PG&E responsible for the deadly firestorms that ravaged Northern California recently. SDG&E has denied that its equipment caused the fires, faulting excessive winds for the Witch Fire and a Cox cable line that came in contact with a power line for the Rice Fire. But SDG&E has paid out over $2 billion in settlements and other costs related to the fires. Lee Chavrian, SDG&E's Senior Vice President and Chief Regulatory Officer, issued a statement indicating SDG&E strongly disagrees with the decision, adding, "We will vigorously pursue all available avenues to overturn this decision." Chavrian contends, among other arguments, that the 2007 wildfires were a natural disaster fueled by extreme conditions, including high heat, low humidity, and hurricane-force winds as high as 92 miles per hour. He claims that the decision is not supported by the evidence and is not consistent with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which found that SDG&E acted reasonably and approved a portion of the wildfire cost request under federal jurisdiction. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is John Pfister.
If a smart bag is on your gift list this holiday season, you'd better check twice before going shopping. Multiple major airlines, including American, Delta, Alaska, United, Continental, and Southwest, have announced plans to ban many smart luggage pieces due to the risk of explosions caused by lithium-ion batteries, 10 News reports. Smart luggage sounds like a traveler's dream. Equipped with GPS, the high-tech bags can help you find lost luggage, tell you how much your packed bag weighs to avoid charges for overweight items, and lock electronically to protect your belongings. Some bags can follow you around the airport so you don't have to haul them around, or even serve as a scooter to give you a ride. But there's a big catch. The lithium-ion batteries can overheat, catch fire, and explode, potentially causing an aircraft to crash. Many of the airlines will allow smart bags to be checked if the batteries are first removed and carried in the cabin with the passenger, but some bags have batteries that can't be removed. If you're shopping for a smart bag, be sure to choose a model that has a battery that can be removed. Policies on smart bags vary among carriers. Some airlines have indicated they will allow smart bags small enough to be carried on to travel with passengers, but only if they are powered off. But other airlines are planning to ban even carry-on smart bags unless the batteries are removed. So be sure to check with the airline to make sure you know the rules before booking your ticket or traveling. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Valerie Watts.
Now it's time for East County Magazine's Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers report, shining a light on shady deals all around us. Wells Fargo Bank and Wells Fargo Insurance have been served with an accusation by the California Department of Insurance seeking to suspend or revoke its licenses for alleged improper insurance sales practices related to the company's online insurance referral program. That program resulted in insurance products being purchased and paid for by consumers without their knowledge. California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones says consumers should not be treated like chattel by corporations who take advantage and abuse the consumer's trust. He adds, companies licensed to transact insurance have an obligation to act with integrity, to obtain consumer consent before placing insurance, to disclose relevant and material information, and to comply with all state insurance laws. California state investigation opened at the direction of Jones found that from 2008 to 2016, Wells Fargo customers were issued approximately 1,500 insurance policies without their knowledge or permission. In some cases, employees told consumers to enter their personal information on a policy application merely to receive a quote. But Wells Fargo employees later submitted the applications to the insurer to buy the policy without consumers' permission. In 2016, Wells Fargo paid $185 million to federal regulators to settle claims, alleging the bank opened fraudulent deposit and credit card accounts. A bank review found approximately 3.5 million unauthorized deposit and credit card accounts opened from 2009 to 2016. Bank employees opened those unauthorized accounts as part of an incentive compensation program that indirectly encouraged improper sales practices and was not adequately overseen by bank management. Wells Fargo is expected to file a notice of defense following Jones' action, proposing to revoke its insurance license.
New research by public watchdogs reveal that the Navy warned the California Coastal Commission that the Commission lacked the jurisdiction to grant Southern California Edison a permit to bury nuclear waste just 108 feet from the beach at San Onofre State Beach Park. The letter was sent 4 days before the Commission approved the nuclear waste burial in October 2015. The warning authored by U.S. Navy Captain W.L. Whitmire states that the facility is on Navy land under exclusive federal jurisdiction, where state laws generally do not apply. The letter also warned the Commission that ignoring federal jurisdiction could result in the Navy requiring complete removal of the nuclear waste dump at San Onofre. The Navy's position is consistent with two precedent-setting lawsuits referenced in the Navy's warning. Public Watchdogs board member William Weigel, Jr., a retired U.S. Air Force judge advocate, stated at Edison's November 2nd Community Engagement Panel meeting that the only authority the Navy has over the site was to negotiate a lease for a nuclear power plant back in 1963, not storage of nuclear waste. The letter was written during the Obama administration, before Donald Trump took office, and purged regulatory agencies of environmentalists, stacking key federal posts with industry-friendly regulators. Edison has argued that moving waste elsewhere poses its own set of risks in transit, and there is currently no designated federal nuclear waste storage site. Opponents contend that storing waste along a coastline at risk of earthquakes and tsunamis poses a serious threat to public safety. The beachfront nuclear waste storage facility was completed in November. Starting this month, the dump is slated to begin storing canisters of hot radioactive waste, deadly to all life for more than 250,000 years, in containers that are guaranteed to last only 25 years. A leak could contaminate heavily populated areas in our region for the foreseeable future. Public Watchdogs hopes to prevent burial of the nuclear spent fuel at San Onofre's beach. On November 17th, the organization filed a lawsuit in federal court to sue the U.S. government, the Departments of Defense and Navy, Edison, and San Diego Gas and Electric to prevent the burial of nuclear waste on the beach at San Onofre State Beach Park. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
You're listening to KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guest is Daniel Sullivan. He is the founder and the president of Sullivan Solar in San Diego, and he's going to be telling us about some new rates going into effect December 1st, so they're in effect now, on solar that a lot of people don't know about.
and that could dramatically affect your bill. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I understand that under this new rate structure, this time-of-use rate structure, in 5 years, a typical family's electric bill could increase 143%. Can you explain to us what's happened and why?
Absolutely. So to give you a little background, people who went solar between June 30th, 2016 and December 1st, 2017 have been afforded a 5-year grandfathering provision from the utility. So for the next 5 years, those people will have the same time of use windows and be billed according to those windows. Mm-hmm. Thereafter, they will be subjected to the new time of use windows, which went into effect on December 1st. And that is what will cause their bills to go up substantially. To give you a little more information on that, the current time of use windows result in the highest charges during the middle of the day. So from 11 to 6, they charge you the most.
Right.
That's how it was. So solar power lined up nicely with their billing structure because a solar power system would produce the most energy when it was most expensive.
Okay.
And you would consume energy when it was least expensive. Under the new rules, they've completely flipped the script. And that is, the electricity is cheapest when solar is producing power in the daytime and most expensive during the night when solar is off.
Wow. So I'm looking here that SDG&E is going to be charging 27 cents for electricity during the day and 54 cents at night. So
correct.
It's double, basically.
Correct. So you'd have to produce 2 units of energy to offset one at nighttime. It's a fantastic design by the utility. In fact, I would call it criminally genius in that they're trying to make it so that you cannot escape their charges.
Yeah.
That's really at the root of what they're trying to do.
Kind of goes to this whole regulatory capture of the Public Utilities Commission that Mike Aguirre was talking about just last week in the documents that he released about how so many of their decisions recently seem to favor the utilities over the consumers. That's a whole other story. So let's go back to how consumers will be impacted. So those who bought between June 30th, 2016 and December 1st, of 2017,
mm-hmm.
those people are grandfathered in for 5 years, and after that, your rates are going to go up unless you get a battery, which we'll be talking about in a minute. People who bought before then, back in early 2016 or earlier, I understand they're okay because they're grandfathered in even before the whole net metering, is that right?
Correct. So it was called net metering 1.0, where the people who went solar prior to June 30th, 2016, they received 20 years of grandfathering protection on their current rate structure and compensation with the utility.
So they're good for 20 years.
They're good.
The people who bought recently are good for 5 years. What about the people who buy tomorrow and on into the future?
Right. That's a very important topic. Many people think solar today is no different than it was even a week ago. And it has changed dramatically with this new structure.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, a battery is a necessary component of any solar power system, in that the battery allows you to charge your battery when electricity is cheap, which is during the day,
mm-hmm.
save that energy for the evening to use when they're trying to charge you twice as much. So nowadays, a solar power system that is equipped to deal with this rate structure is one that incorporates battery storage.
Okay, so basically it makes sense for anybody who bought in the last year and a half to do this, as well as anybody purchasing a system going forward. How much do batteries cost?
Well, batteries aren't cheap, but they're an excellent value. A battery will cost, before any incentives are applied, approximately $6,200.
And how much can you get off of that with the incentives?
So the state of California has a program called the Self-Generation Incentive Program. And that provides currently approximately $3,000 in the form of a rebate. In addition, the remaining balance of roughly $3,200, you can take a 30% federal tax credit against that, bringing the total cost down to around $2,000. Substantial incentive.
And we understand some of those incentives will be disappearing in June unless the legislature renews them. So it's probably a good idea to get the battery before then if you can. And then I assume that people can finance out that $2,000 over a number of years. What can you get it down to on a monthly basis?
Around $20 a month.
So $20 a month, you can have your battery, and then SDG&E can't jack up the rates on you this way. Basically, this is the way around this problem.
Correct. A battery you can think of as almost like an insurance policy to protect your investment in solar.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. How much can people save by going solar? Is it still worth it with the cost of the battery calculated in?
Oh, absolutely. If you finance the entire system, including the battery, the monthly payment we find is, for the average customer, around $100 less than what they would have paid the utility.
Okay.
So you can go solar, no money out of pocket, pay $100 less, and be protected from utility attacks.
And, of course, you're doing your part to combat global warming, climate change, and go green.
Absolutely. So you save money, you save the environment, and you reduce the amount of imported fossil fuels this country needs. So all in all, it's a win-win-win.
Very good. Now, listeners, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Daniel Sullivan, who's the founder and president of Sullivan Solar Energy in San Diego. As far as where to get more information, obviously people can reach out to you at Sullivan Solar if they want to. Where else can they go if they're looking for, you know, unbiased sources or a governmental type source of information on this? Where can they find it?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of consumers don't know who to trust, because if you go to a solar company, they have a vested interest in selling you something.
Yeah, and there's very good ones, and there's, you know, like in many industries, some snake oil salesmen as well.
True. So people like a third-party entity, and the best entity to go to, we find, is the Center for Sustainable Energy.
Mm-hmm.
They actually administer the rebate program for the battery.
Okay.
So they'll give consumers the information they need to make an educated decision. And so they can have confidence going forward with making these investments.
Very good. So the Center for Sustainable Energy, which oversees the rebates, and they have objective, impartial information about this whole program and preferred vendors and so forth. The takeaway from all of this, if you tuned in late, is that effective December 1st of this year, if you're going solar and you don't have a battery, you can be charged a much higher time of use rate and really take away a lot of those savings from having a solar system. If you do have a battery, then that's kind of the way that you can avoid that problem and still make it pay to go solar.
Absolutely.
How large are these batteries, and where do people put them?
So typically the battery will go in the garage on a wall. It mounts to the wall. It's about, you need a space that's about 6 feet tall by 4 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And that battery saves you money on your bills, but it also provides you backup power in the case of a power outage. So it's solid technology. It's the same technology that's been deployed in the Chevy Volt and the Chevy Bolt. So we've got hundreds of thousands of miles and charges behind these things.
So it's a proven, tested technology.
It is.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Daniel?
I think that what we're seeing with the evolution of the battery technology paired with solar power, we're seeing a transformation of the grid, which is, in my opinion, well overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives more power to the consumer and to the ratepayer so that they control their energy usage. So batteries with solar, I think, is the ultimate solution to get our entire country off of fossil fuels. And I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely. I want to thank you so much, Daniel, for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes the North Pole Limited train rides in Campo, the Ramona Holiday Wine Trail, a Christmas cabaret in La Mesa, reindeer at Grossmont Center, a toy parade in El Cajon, a performance of Handel's Messiah in the college area, and a pottery artist studio tour in San Diego and East County.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including La Mesa's Holiday in the Village, Caroling in Borrego, Santa and Snow at Santee Lakes, A Christmas Carol in Julian, Big Band and Jazz Holiday Concerts in El Cajon and Santee, Tony Orlando at Sequan, Fiddling and Clogging with Celia Lawler at Parkway Plaza, Sinatra and Friends at Borrego Performing Arts, and Carnival Fantastique at Sequan.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
The Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo invites you to take a ride aboard the North Pole Limited, a special holiday train ride departing Fridays and Saturdays from December 1st through December 23rd at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Guests are advised to arrive at least 45 minutes early to get tickets for the North Pole Limited. Once you're on board, Santa's elves will sing Christmas carols, read a popular Christmas story to children, and pass out cookies and hot chocolate to all passengers.
The train will stop at Santa's workshop to pick up Santa and Mrs. Claus, who will visit with all passengers as the North Pole Limited heads back to the Campo Depot. This popular ride does sell out, so advance reservations are recommended through the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at psrm.org.
Wineries from the Ramona Valley Vineyard Association are featuring a holiday in the country where you follow the Ramona Wine Trail in the heart of San Diego wine country during the first 3 weekends of December. Wine fans can visit 14 wineries decked out for the holidays. Individual wineries are presenting their own selected special holiday happenings to accompany tasting. Santa is also expected to hover. To get your holiday wine trail passport, you can visit RamonaValleyVineyards.com.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa invites you to get in the holiday spirit at a Christmas cabaret showing December 1st through the 17th. Lamplighters presents an uplifting showcase of local talent, performing seasonal favorites not only from Christmas, but many December holidays as well. For tickets and details, visit LamplightersLaMesa.com.
Ho, ho, ho! As Santa's Christmas Eve sleigh ride approaches, you can bring children to take photos and feed a live reindeer at Grossmont Center on Sunday afternoons from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. on December 10th and 17th. Graham crackers will be available to feed the reindeer while supplies last. The reindeer will be located in the center court near the guest services booth. For more information, you can visit GrossmontCenter.com.
You are cordially invited to join La Mesa Conversations at its annual holiday mixer on Friday, December 8th at Helix Brewing Company in La Mesa from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Feel free to don your most festive outfit or ugliest holiday sweater to celebrate the season. A local band, Pinch Flat, and a food truck, God Save the Cuisine, will be available. For reservations, you can visit LaMesaConversations.org.
The Salvation Army Fire Truck Toy Parade rolls out at 11 a.m. this Saturday, December 9th, at the Target parking lot in El Cajon, complete with fire trucks and local celebrities, including Santa Claus. While this event ends at noon, the toy drive for needy families in El Cajon will continue until December 16th. If you would like to donate a new unwrapped toy, you can do so at this event or at the Angel Tree at Parkway Plaza on weekends, or any day during business hours at Salvation Army's location at 1011 Main Street in El Cajon. You can even purchase a toy online with Amazon's wish list feature. Just go to elcajon.salvationarmy.org's website for more information. The La Mesa Village Association hosts its annual Holiday in the Village celebration on Saturday, December 9th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stroll through the streets of La Mesa's historic downtown to enjoy live music and dance, cozy fires, craft vendors, food, and a kids area with holiday movies and activities. For more information, you can go to LaMesaVillageAssociation.org.
If you're looking for a one-of-a-kind gift for that certain someone or that perfect piece to adorn your home, the 10th Annual San Diego Pottery Tour may be just what you need. Over 30 ceramists from the San Diego Potters Guild will participate, showing their wares at 8 different studios December 9th and 10th from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. The venues on this self-guided tour start at Spring Valley and go as far west as Mission Hills, all within a few minutes' drive from each other. For a map and to get a glimpse of some of the potter's work, visit sdpotterytour.com.
Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center will present Here We Come A-Caroling, Borrego Style, on Saturday, December 9th at 7:30 and again at 9 p.m., and on Sunday, December 10th at 3 and 4:30 p.m. You're invited to come sing carols with neighbors and friends while being entertained by Borrego's finest musicians and orators. For tickets, you can visit the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center website at bspac.us.
Santa comes to Santee Lakes on Sunday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Children can also delight in meeting favorite characters on Storybook Island, sliding down Snow Hill, crafts, face painting, and rides on ponies, tractors, and a train. Tickets for rides and attractions are available for purchase. For full details, you can visit Santee Lakes on Facebook or go to SanteeLakes.com.
On Sunday, December 10th at 3 p.m., the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra will present the Sounds Good Holiday Concert at College Avenue Baptist Church, featuring the Christmas portion of Handel's beloved Messiah, along with selections of popular holiday music. In addition to the chorus and orchestra, there will also be solo performers.
The San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra was founded over 15 years ago by Maestro Mostardo and is made up of singers and players from the community who love to make music. The chorus is always happy to welcome new members. You can find more information and tickets for the holiday concert at sandiegofestivalchorus.org.
Julian Theater Company will present Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. This timeless tale focuses on the miserly Ebenezer Scrooge as he is visited by the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future. Scrooge's clerk, Bob Cratchit, and his impoverished family, including the frail Tiny Tim, face a grim future, unless Scrooge can find redemption and discover the true spirit of Christmas. Performances will be held at Julian Town Hall on the weekends of December 8th through 10th, and again December 15th and 16th. For tickets and details, visit juliantheatercompany.com.
The Gas Lamp Quarter Jazz Orchestra will present a concert on Sunday, December 17th at 4 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Occoquan. The program includes a medley of Christmas music and doors open at 3:30. The musical group reflects influences of big band and jazz greats such as Count Basie, Wynton Marsalis, and Duke Ellington. For more information, you can visit the First Presbyterian Church's website at firstpres-elcajon.org.
Singer Tony Orlando will be live in concert at Sequan on December 17th and 18th. His career began at age 16 with his first hit song, Halfway to Paradise. His band, Tony Orlando and Don, had several major hits in the 1970s, including Candida, Knock Three Times, and Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree, as well as the Tony Orlando and Don Show on TV. After the band broke up, Orlando has continued as a solo singer. For tickets, visit sequan.com.
Clap and Dance with Celia Lawler. The fiddling and clogging singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist will be performing holiday concerts at Parkway Plaza Shopping Mall in El Cajon on Saturday, December 16th and Saturday, December 23rd from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Macy's Court. For more information, you can visit shoppingparkwayplaza.com.
Off-Broadway Live Theater in Santee will present A Big Band Christmas with the Gaslamp Quarter Jazz Orchestra and Leonard Patton on Friday, December 22nd at 7 p.m. For more information or tickets to this special holiday concert, visit offbroadwaylive.com.
Sinatra and Friends pays tribute to the man and his music, featuring countless songs synonymous with Frank Sinatra, as well as many other memorable favorites people have come to love. The performance will be staged at the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center on Saturday, January 6th, with performances at 7:30 and 9 p.m. For tickets, you can visit bspac.us.
Carnival Fantastique will bring performers from around the world to Sequan on January 7th in a celebration of music and action that combines gravity-defying acrobatics, contortionists, jugglers, comedy, beautiful dancers, and dynamic laser special effects. The finale highlights a one-of-a-kind laser salute to America patriotic performance. You're invited to come one, come all. It's Carnival. For tickets, you can visit sequan.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, A.K. Jules, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.